Malachim Aleph Perek Dalet is sort of a plateau before we start moving forward into an incredible description of the wealth and power of Klal Yisrael, and particularly Shlomo as king, and his royal court, which was absolutely enormous and beyond belief in terms of the sheer number of people it served every day, and the glory of the throne, and everything else that we're going to see that's almost super extraordinary about Shlomo's Malucha over Klal Yisrael. I've mentioned before the Maimar Chazal that the Klal Yisrael is like the moon that waxes and wanes, but we were at the full moon phase during the days of David and Shlomo, and it starts with a deceptively simple pasuk, pasuk Aleph, Ayhi HaMelech Shlomo Melech Al Kol Yisrael. And so, King Shlomo was king over all of Klal Yisrael. And again, that's deceptively simple, but it's really a summary of everything that came before. Before now, the Malbim points out, so we were describing the fact that Shlomo first had to listen to what David had told him to do to start off the kingship on the right foot, that he had to remove all the enemies out of the way, and that finally he demonstrated the incredible chachmah, the mental acuity that he had compared to others. And so now that Shlomo is in such a great place, all of Klal Yisrael was under his reign. But David HaMelech had not begun that way. The Malbim really takes it to pieces and shows that David first ruled 7 years over Yehuda, and then there was the problem with Ishbosheth, and then there were all the rebellions. Shlomo was king over all of Klal Yisrael right away, from the very beginning. Ki tekef, right away, says the Malbim. And he organized the kingdom in a way that any good or incredibly good administrator is going to do. He's going to hand over and delegate many of the responsibilities to individual government people. And this is also a big deal, because they are going to come in very handy as Shlomo is going to arrange the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the building of the royal palace. There's a lot of work that Shlomo is going to undertake to do. And his extremely capable government personnel are going to be in charge of a lot of that. And this is also part of the fact that he was king over all of Klal Yisrael. The Pasuk Beis, Ve'ela Hasarim Asher Lo, and the following are the officers that he had to delegate all of the fields that are going to be handled under Shlomo's massively successful kingdom. Too much for one person to deal with by himself, but also to get advice from them as well. Now, Shlomo didn't need advice or guidance. Hashem was with him in everything he did, as we have said before. Nobody was wiser or more capable of him, but no one single person ever has the time and energy to handle everything, and so Shlomo is not going to. And the first is Azaryahu ben Tzadok HaKohen. Azaryahu, the son of Tzadok HaKohen. Azaryahu is not really the son, say the Mefarshim, of Tzadok HaKohen. Azaryah was really the son of Achimatz, not Tzadok. Tzadok was his grandfather, as it's brought down eventually in Divrei Hayamim. But this is another example of the Torah's lesson that a son and a grandson are first of all direct descendants of the father slash grandfather, and second of all that the relationship between a grandfather and a grandson can be extremely close. As one woman I read once wrote, because they're both little boys at heart. And so as men get older and regress to boyhood, their grandsons are going to give them a chance to do that. That was her take on it. But his relationship to Tzadok Kohen Gadol was tremendous, and also could indicate that Tzadok helped raise him and educate him. So Azariah is a very special young man. Secondly, Pasuk Gimel, Elichoref Va'achia B'nei Shisha Sofrim. So Elichoref and Achia, who were both the sons of one father, of Shisha, they were scribes. They were Sofrim. And some say that Azariah, because he's mentioned first, is also one of the Sofrim, so there were actually three of them. And Azariah may have been the chief scribe over the other two. Each one probably had his own function. There's some speculation in some of the Mefarshim as to what different jobs they would have done. It's possible that one was responsible for taxes, one for matters of law and legal decisions, and a third as the recording scribe for official events. Having done secretary of a major organization for the last 11 years, I can tell you it helps to have more than one. Furthermore, Yehoshaphat ben Achilud Hamazkir. And Yehoshaphat ben Achilud was the recorder or the secretary, keeping record perhaps of the cases that came before the king, or financial matters, or history being recorded. So very often the historian is not the one whose name gets recalled, but as an historian myself, I very much approve of this pasuk. And then on to the more famous aides to the king. Dalad, Ubnayahu ben Yehoyada alatzava. Ubnayahu ben Yehoyada was over the entire army. Very important, based on the idea that Yoav was done away with, and so Ubnayahu was now the unquestioned military commander. But Tzadok ve'Evyasar Kohanim, and Tzadok and Evyasar are Kohanim, even though Evyasar had been banished to Anassos, but apparently, occasionally he was permitted to return to Yerushalayim to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. Mitzudas David suggests that of these Kohanim who have been mentioned, it could be that Azariah, who was the one mentioned before, grandson of Tzadok HaKohen, might have been the Meshuach Melchama. And so he was ready to serve when the armies went out to war. But the mention of Evyasar here is actually counterintuitive compared to what we saw happen to the other people who were either executed or banished in the first couple of psukim. So some say that this Evyasar was not the other Evyasar, and it wasn't Evyasar ben Achimelech. This was a different Kohen named Evyasar, who also was a major active Kohen, who was involved in the Kohanic administration. So Elichoref and Achiah are actually, we mentioned them before in Pasuk Gimel, are actually part of a fairly famous Medrash, that it was decreed in Shamayim, the Medrash says, that Elichoref and Achiah, their time had come and they should die. And the Malach HaMavos came to Shlomo HaMelech, and the Malach HaMavos was very sad. And the Malach HaMavos told Shlomo, when Shlomo said, "Why do you look so sad? You seem down in the mouth for the angel of death." The Malach HaMavos says, "I've been commanded to take away these two very fine men who are sitting right here, Elichoref and Achiah." And Shlomo decided he was going to outsmart the Malach HaMavos and send them to a place where he couldn't reach them. So, again, the Medrash, this is a really interesting Medrash, but it's also a moral tale of trying to outsmart death. So he called upon demons. Apparently Shlomo even had some authority over the world of the supernatural, over the demons. Maybe we'll tell the Ashmodai stories later on near the end. And they took Elichoref and Achiah to the city of Luz, the one place in the world where the Malach HaMavos has no power. It was a special bracha for Luz. Luz Shem Ha'ilu Rishonah. This is a medrash also in Bereishis about Beis El and Luz possibly being different places. And so they flew with Elichoref and Achiah to Luz. And when they got there, who should they see waiting for him at the gates but the Malach HaMavos? And before they could even get into the city, they were dead. And so the next day, Shlomo saw the Malach HaMavos, who had come back for another visit. And the Malach HaMavos was laughing. And Shlomo said, "What are you laughing about?" And the Malach HaMavos said, "Well, you sent them to the very place where I was told to go get them. The only place where I was going to be permitted to take their neshamos was in Luz. And that's where you sent them, exactly where I needed to go get." And Shlomo Melech realized what it means that, as he said, a man's feet are his arvim, are his guarantors. They take him to wherever he is ordained to go. So Elichoref and Achiah both get to figure in that very famous story as we go on with more of the administration.